Declan, welcome to Athens and ComicdomCon 2015.
Thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure having a renowned artist. And I want to start by asking you a question that I try to ask most artists. And that is, if you were originally a comic fan, and what were your favorite reads when you started?
Yes, I've been a comic fan for years and years and years. I think when I was very young, I read some Donald Duck or Scrooge McDuck cartoons and a lot of things that were based on cartoons like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and really loved Asterix. There was a library near my school where I could go and I could read lots of Asterix. But I think it was when I was in my early teens, the X-Men cartoon and the Batman cartoon, and Spider-Man, those, like, those three cartoons came out and really got me into those characters. So I tried to hunt down the original American comics, and I'm from Ireland, which is a small island. There wasn't, where I'm from, there was not a lot of comics, so it was very difficult to find them. But thankfully there were some reprints being published by Panini, and I was able to catch up. But I've been primarily X-Men, Spider-Man, Batman as a boy.
So while Ireland is an English-speaking country, there wasn't a many great selection available of American titles, original American titles.
No, definitely not. There were some specialist shops like Forbidden Planet, but they were in Dublin, which was the other side of the country for me. Growing up, that was not accessible. And there were some newsstand comics, like I mentioned, like the Beano and those Disney comics, but that was not where my interests were. I was interested in superheroes, and they weren't accessible. My mother would treat me to trips to Dublin for my birthday. So maybe once for my birthday, and then another time she would take me to Dublin, and I'd spend the day in a comic shop, and I would just spend all day long trying to figure out what I was going to buy. And I would see all these other, I would see Hulk comics and Spider-Man, loads of characters I didn't even know about. So those were sort of my best times.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about how did you start making interest as in a job as an artist, and if you study something relative, or you just start, as an amateur, trying to make it to perhaps a professional level.
Well, I definitely started as an amateur. I was drawing comics while I was in school, and I would try and bring them into my art class, but that was very frowned upon. When I finished school or high school here, I studied fine art printmaking in Limerick School of Art and Design, which was a fine art college, which is good for me because it broke me out of just looking at comics for inspiration, and it introduced me to loads of artists like Klimt and Goya, and loads of artists I was not aware of. So I got a good artistic education there. So after 4 years, I decided to seriously pursue comics, and I would work on my portfolio. And I found out about conventions that were in United Kingdom. So I would take a plane. I was very poor, but I would save up my money and get a plane and stay in cheap hostels just so I could go and show my portfolio to artists and editors or whoever was there and would look. So I did that for a good few years until I eventually, I think, tried American conventions too. And I started to get some small work in UK small press publishing. So my first comic was a book called Hero Killers. It was a black and white supervillain story, but I did that because the writer of the book was publishing his own work, and he said he would be willing to publish the book if I drew it. So he would write it, I would draw it for free, and he would publish it, which isn't the best deal in the world, but I had nothing published to my name. I was effectively just a hobbyist. So I spent 2 months drawing that, and then the following year it won the Eagle Award for best British black and white comic. So that was my first kind of introduction,
and breakout.
Breakout. I mean, it was still a small UK book, but that went on to working for an Irish comic book called Freak Show, and then Classical Comics graphic novel adaptations. I did a Frankenstein book and a Sweeney Todd book.
Yes.
And at that stage, I'd developed my craft, and I feel like I was showing a lot of work online. And an editor at Boom Studios saw a short story I had drawn for a magazine called Tripwire, and asked me to if I would do 28 Days Later, and that was my break into the American market then.
So is it correct to assume that from your readings and from your later career, that from the beginning you were interested in breaking out in working for American comics?
Yes, definitely. I was always a massive superhero fan. For example, I'm from Ireland, and there's a lot of UK comics like 2000 AD.
Yes.
But I was never really into 2000 AD. Strangely, that is more my taste now than when I was growing up. I liked simple tales of heroes and villains. My tastes now are a lot more complex.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really know 2000 AD. So it was American publishers I wanted to work for: Spider-Man, Batman, Wolverine, those type of things. But I didn't know how to do it. Again, not from America,
yes.
Did not go to American shows. So I had to kind of really apply myself and work on professional portfolios and go to American conventions and get feedback. It took a long time of practicing and putting myself out there, because it's very important to go to these shows, because you make contacts with people in the industry and
network
and,
with the publishers and
yes,
the editors
and other artists. I find that good artists like other good artists, so they're very supportive of good work. And if everybody wants to see good work rise to the top.
Yes.
So it was very good for me. I would meet some of my favorite artists, and they would be very nice to me and supportive. And it seems like it was a very short time now, but it was over the course of many years.
Yes.
And you slowly develop these friendships. So when I would go back to Ireland, I would work on my craft, and I would know people, and they would give advice, and slowly and surely. But my first break was the 28 Days Later. So when I was working on that, I went over to America for 3 months to kind of just go to as many shows. Instead of making one trip for one convention, I went to New York, and I went to as many conventions around New York as I could, and I met as many people as I could. And by the time I'd finished, I had an offer from Marvel, because I went to one convention where the writer of Thunderbolts, they needed a fill-in artist.
Yes.
And the writer liked my work.
And you did a couple of issues.
Yes, well, he wasn't the editor, but he liked my work, so he suggested me to his editor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got my break there. But, I mean, that wouldn't have happened unless he knew my work and had I met him at that American show.
Yes, and you had a good portfolio with you, with
yes.
samples of
yes,
your,
I'd been doing
work.
I'd been doing 28 Days Later for nearly a year at that point, so I had like 10 issues released monthly, so
yes.
It was clear that I could work at a professional pace and level.
Your work could speak for you, and
yes,
it's much I guess it's much easier for someone to choose an artist if they've seen not just a sample that he has done, even if it is comic pages, but published.
You'll find that a lot of editors, they see so much work, but they will assume that your sample pages took you longer than what you say. So if they ask you how long it took, and you tell them it took a day, which is generally what it should take, they will assume it took you longer, regardless of what your answer.
Mm-hmm.
The best proof is professional work, or work that is published, because at least they know, no matter who the publisher is, you had to get in on time.
Yes,
it had to be done at certain specifications, it had to be done on schedule. So I think that's why you'll find a lot of artists will break in at like IDW or Boom, and Marvel will pick them up, because
yes.
they know that they are professional and reliable.
Like they played football in
yep.
the smaller category.
Absolutely.
And they take a transfer to a bigger club.
Absolutely, because why would they just pick somebody who they know has not proven themselves in any way? It would be a massive risk for them, because you could meet somebody whose work you like and hire them, and they could be completely unreliable, and then they're in big trouble because of
yes.
that. So you have to try and slowly, like, if your aim is Marvel and DC, then you have to be prepared to start elsewhere and build a reputation and a name for yourself, because there's very, very few people have just started at Marvel from the very beginning.
Yes.
Very few.
earlier you spoke about some friends of yours that helped you. I've read in some interviews mentioning Stephen Mooney, who was also who came last year at the Comic Dome Con Athens 2014. Can you tell us a bit about your relationship?
I don't know if enemy is a strong enough word. No. Stephen.
Frenemy.
Frenemy. Stephen, or Mooney as I call him, he was working on an Irish series called Freak Show years ago when I was, when I was say, doing Hero Killers.
And he's very older than you.
He is very older than me, yes. He's all, he's going grey, but in a handsome Reed Richards type way.
Damn it.
Yeah, damn it. Yeah. It's my hair. It's my hair just like leaves my head. But he, I did not know a lot of Irish creators at the time. I knew a couple. I'd known William Steiny because we had met each other before. But I went to a convention in the UK and I met Stephen there. He was drawing Freak Show, and I was really impressed by all the work he was doing. So he got a job at IDW not too long after that, and he suggested me to the writer of the book, who was also the publisher. So I took over for Stephen on Freak Show for about a year, probably. So he gave me my first professional job, the first job that actually paid me. I don't know what you've read on the internet, but there's a very suspicious Wikipedia article that attributes a lot of credit to him, which is, I don't want to say completely untrue, but it definitely paints him in a much more important light. But I've known Stephen a long time. He's always been a good help. And it goes to show, I mean, he helped me at the time. But like now, I'm in a position where I can help him sometimes, where there might be an editor I know that he doesn't know,
or other people,
or other younger people. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like I think any, like I said, everybody wants good work. So if you find somebody who's good and interesting and exciting, you want them to do well, because there's an awful lot of terrible people drawing comics, and I hate that stuff. I would like it.
There's room for
improvements, definitely. So, but you'll find that people comics are genuine. If one, you're good, but thank you. and two, you show a certain amount of professionalism and dedication. Mm-hmm. And I think Stephen and I talk about it sometimes. Whereas I think that definitely there is something of a working class mindset in Ireland of being professional and doing a good job. I think that has served me well working freelance, because freelance, you can, there's no one making you do it.
You're hanging in the air.
Yeah, so I feel that that was good. That was a good background for him and us. And I think if anybody shows dedication, you want to reward that, or you want dedicated, talented people to do well, because there are talented people who don't apply themselves, and there are people who apply themselves but aren't talented. And it's always great and very refreshing and exciting to see somebody who's very, very talented and
hardworking.
Yes, which is, as I assume, is what Stephen saw all those years ago.
Yeah, from.
There's no doubt that the recent run you did with Warren Ellis on Moon Knight made you more famous, and more people know about you now, because it's also published by Marvel, it's a known character, and it was a critical and commercial success. Tell us a little bit about the comic and the partnership.
Well, you're right. I've been at Marvel for about 3 years before Moon Knight. I worked on various characters, and I was doing well, and I was quite happy. But getting to relaunch a character with a completely different take was Warren Ellis, of all people, was very, very exciting. I can't believe. I remember I got the phone call from Stephen Wacker, and he told me, asked me, would I be interested in relaunching Moon Knight? I was like, would I be able to redesign him? And he was like, yes. And then my first question is normally who is the writer, because that's what I'm more interested in. And then he said it was some unknown British guy. And I was trying to think of guys who, of British guys who work in for Marvel.
And there are 5,000 people.
there's not a lot. There's like Kieran Gillen, and there's Simon Spurrier, and you know, there's a few for Marvel at the moment.
Yes.
So I was thinking that's who he was talking. So I was like, I don't know who. And he said Warren Ellis. I was like,
who's that?
Yeah, who's that? So I was really, really excited. And but without a doubt, it doesn't really matter how long I've been at Marvel. I'm sure Moon Knight is the first thing that a lot of people saw, because a lot of people were excited that Warren was doing a Marvel comic book again. He hadn't done one in a long time. So So that was exciting to start. It was very overwhelming and worrying to start too, because I felt a lot of pressure, because, you know, what I wanted to do was have a different take on the character and do something, do it, as I say, a signature body of work.
Yes.
Rather than just a work for hire job, something that I will be recognized or known for.
Yes.
Thankfully, that did happen, and everybody, a lot of people were very, very, some people said they came for Warren Ellis, but they stayed for me, which was a really good compliment, because I think everybody was willing to check out what Warren was doing, but I would like to think that what Jordy and I did on the book, working together, because she colours all my work, and I was trying to be more ambitious with my illustration, it seemed to pay off. It seemed to really click with people.
Yes. And speaking of Jordy, how is having a partner both in life and both in work? Some say avoid it, but
it's complex. We have arguments sometimes, but it's always, I think, if Jordy didn't care and I didn't care, we wouldn't have arguments.
Yes.
I think it's because I care a lot about the work and she cares a lot about the work. She doesn't want to do boring, uninteresting work.
For the sake of doing
she,
it.
Exactly. She could do other jobs just for money, but she wants to do something she can be proud of, as do I. So sometimes tensions are a little higher, but I think we had a little bit of difficulty at the very beginning of, because we worked on Deadpool before that. But I think because with Moon Knight, there was more input on my end about, like, you know, visual ideas. There was a little bit of back and forth about what would work and what wouldn't work. I think what was important is I gave Jordy the leeway to make her own decisions.
Yes.
I think if I gave Jordy a list of instructions and demanded she follow them, she would take those list of instructions and stick them where the sun does not shine, i.e. my bottom. That would not go well at all. But honestly, her ideas, 99% of the time, make the work more interesting than what I was. So I might have an idea and say, I'd like the light to be coming from here, and I'd like it to be red. She might make the point where it's like, red's very overused, let's go for something different. And so I generally try and embrace her ideas, because the work is always better for it. The major downside is because we're doing so well, we're very, very busy, and that doesn't leave an awful lot of time for, like, couple stuff. So it can be hard for us to leave the house or to go see a movie or to have a night off. That is difficult, but we try our best.
Yes, to manage that.
And not only your work with Warren Ellis for Marvel, for Moon Knight, but your next project will also be with Warren, and it won't be a known character, but create your own project.
Yeah, I call it a Spoon Knight. No.
Is it the tick?
It is not a spoon. it's called Injection, first of all, and it's with Image Comics. When I was coming to the end of my arc on Moon Knight, Warren asked if I would like to do a creator-owned series with him. And I've been wanting to do creator-owned series for a while, but for, you know, money reasons or whatnot, I was being very, very cautious about when or who I decided to do it with. I was tempted a couple of times to do a series here and there, but I was happy. I was reasonably pleased at Marvel where I was. So when Warren asked if I wanted to, I had all the benefits of working with Warren like I had on Moon Knight, but I would ultimately, you know, own all of the properties, and I could everything, like control of everything. Even last night, our designer sent what the back cover is going to look like, and, you know, those decisions are, Marvel gave us a lot of leeway with Moon Knight, but I mean, ultimately it's their decision, not ours. And with this book, it can just be whatever we want it to be, which is very, very liberating, but it's also a little terrifying, because all the decisions are mine now.
Yes, responsibility.
Yes, but Injection is a series about five eccentric characters, a spy, a detective, a scientist, a hacker, and they all of them were part of this government group in the UK, and they've created something that's poisoned the earth, and now they're trying to find a way of stopping that from happening. And it'll be five graphic novels, five issues each, so it comes out next month, May 13th, and be published monthly like 5 months, and then the trade paperback will come out, yes. And then monthly after that again.
That seems to be the system with Imagine, and it's working fine.
It's working. I think the reason it works so well is because it gives artists 10 issues a year rather than 12, which means instead of me like trying to rush issues before they're ready, I can spend more time and make them the best.
Yes.
So the product is better ultimately than just having a few more pages. I quite like it. I think it's a really good model.
It really started with Saga and Manhattan Projects.
Yes,
and
definitely.
It caught on.
Yeah, I think so. What it gives, I think it gives the artist a little bit more breathing room to wrap up the book, and because even this, like being here with you, if I was at home, I would be getting a page done. So it's good to have a little bit of breathing room here and there. But I'm just finished the third issue now, so I've two more issues in the first arc to do. But I'm quite excited about it. It's very strange. It's a very strange series. But if you liked Moon Knight, I think it is exciting. It's I mean there's more. I think it's more complex because it's longer. It's more ambitious in scope, I feel, and the characters are slowly becoming more and more realized. So
There's no feeling artist next month.
Exactly. I find my favorite comics are like Preacher and Why the Last Man. And you know,
it's my personal favorite. Why the Last Man?
Oh, there it's amazing. But you know, for the most part, my favorite comics are drawn by one artist and written by one writer, and it's very difficult to do that in mainstream comics now. For Marvel or DC.
Yes.
So what I wanted to do, when Warren asked if I wanted to do creator-owned series, I asked if it could be longer than six issues. So we came up with the structure, and I'm quite excited to do something that from the very beginning to the very end will be all by me.
Yes.
Collected one volume. It's more ambitious, but I feel that because of now I've proven myself on other titles, I can show I can do a good job, and be given the room to do it, hopefully will pay off.
I think one of the more irritating things is having a trade paperback to read, and midway you see a change in art style because it was a fill-in month, and it breaks the consistency and the pace of the comic.
Well, I think it ruins the purity of the story. It's like if you were watching a movie, and in one act of the movie it was the actors were totally different.
Yes.
You know, it takes you out a little bit. I mean, I've no problem with other artists and their takes and whatnot. If anything, I'm really interested in that. But in the context of one story, I think to Marvel's credit, they try and balance it so that one arc is completely by one artist.
Yes.
But I mean, that's perfectly fine. But personally, even so, I want to do more than that. I want to be longer.
Run.
Yes, you know, like I would like my dream is to one day do a Daredevil run, which will be a lot harder now because that character I think has become is going to be a lot more popular.
Now, forget one issue.
That's it. That's all I'll probably get. But I mean, you know, in the way of like Frank Miller had his run or Walter Simonson or what. You know, I love those creative collaborations that go on for years, and I would love to do that someday. But it's just I don't think it's very feasible right now. But at Image, I can do that, and I also get to own the property, and I get to make all the decisions, and it's very, very satisfying from a creator standpoint. And I think that the reader,
even from an economic, recently, the artists that have a consistent printed line, like The Walking Dead or Saga, make more profit than those that even work for titles like Batman and Superman.
It depends, but yeah,
If the line is popular and being published, if it's successful,
you could do a low level book at Marvel at a certain rate, and that's fine. Or you could do a creator owned book that doesn't sell particularly well in issues, but then in trade sells quite well, and it can balance out.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't know exactly what my situation will be, but I think I'll be doing as well as I'm doing at Marvel, except that I will own the property. Because if Moon Knight is ever in, if there's a Moon Knight series, that'll be really, really cool, and it'll be cool to see stuff I did interpreted on screen, but ultimately I won't own that.
Yes.
So while that would be really, really, really cool, I think the benefit is having your own decisions, like, you know, foreign language editions. I saw there is a French edition of Moon Knight, but it's not my cover, which really annoys me. And I had no idea they were changing. I saw the Italian version, and it's not my cover either. Little things like that kind of bother me because
it's natural.
Well, I mean, I do covers for other books, and so that's perfectly fine. But you know, I did all the covers on that series, and they were very specifically designed too. So it kind of annoys me that, and again, there are other people's decisions, and they own
that
property.
If they had originally done it, it would be okay, exactly. But sure, there were covers to choose.
Exactly, so it's a little irritating from my point of view. But so now with this book, like also Geordie's name wasn't on the collection,
yes,
which was a little annoying because Geordie was such a huge part of that book. Now that's their policy. On our book, Geordie's name will be on it because it's our decision, and we can do what we like on it, you know. So hopefully it'll do okay. We'll see. We got the numbers back for the first issue, and they're pretty healthy. So,
I've ordered it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Because that's the weird thing is I promote my work when I was working for Marvel, but I've noticed now the more I promote it now, the better, because every sale will be my income.
Yes.
You know, so I actually have to be, I really, really have to push the book because that's going to be what pays my rent.
Okay.
You know.
For my final question, although you mentioned Daredevil earlier, having made a circle from superhero comics to creator owned, are there any so to call dream projects regarding popular characters or a specific collaboration with a writer that you have on the back of your mind as something that you would like to do in the near or far future? Oh,
definitely. I feel lucky. I've gotten to play with characters that I've always liked, like Juggernaut and Thunderbolts, or Venom or whatnot. But I think I would love to do, I would really love to do a run on Daredevil, without a doubt. I have it in my mind. I'd love to do, I think, like do it with Ed Brisson, who is, I don't know if you know his work from Sheltered and Cluster, which is out at the moment. He's a great crime writer. I'd love to do a Daredevil arc with a crime writer, you know,
yes.
Like, because I could add superhero elements, but I like crime elements too, so I'd love to do something like that. But I'd also love to do Batman, like a run on Batman. Like, everybody wants that, you know.
And it's a common connection, Daredevil,
yes,
and Batman,
yeah,
visually,
yeah, yeah,
clear.
I would love to do, like, maybe an X-Men miniseries or something. I think it's all the characters I liked as a kid. I would like to do my own take on them. I think with X-Men, maybe something more finite, like 12 issues. Like do some really cool story where you don't need to worry about continuity. And I would love, it's weird, I'd love to do a Superman,
yes,
story. Not everybody thinks I'd Superman would be character, but like excellent. I see the badge. Well, I didn't even notice you were wearing my t-shirt and badge.
Yes.
I draw kind of more kind of darker characters, so I don't think a lot of people would assume Superman would be a character I'd like to draw, but I think it would be a very interesting challenge to try and make that work and do another good Superman story. But, you know, those are the evergreen,
yes,
books. You know, I think everybody would like to do them. But if I'm being honest, that is what I would like to do. And I'm not particularly interested in doing more very continuity-laden,
yes,
books, because I've done them for a while now, and they were, while they were fun, I feel I'm being more selective about the project. As regards writers, I mean, I can't believe I got a chance to work with Warren Ellis. I can't believe it. Ed is a writer I'd really like to work with, who I mentioned. There's other writers I really like, who I think I often think of people who I know personally that would like to write with, and then there's other people who are like heroes of mine that,
yes,
I'd love to do something with Ed Brubaker.
I'd
love to do something with him someday. But like Jason Aaron as well. I did a short story with Jason Aaron,
yes,
for American Vampire, and I was really happy with it.
Oh,
I'd love to do something. I think there's links with those guys. I think they do really, really good character based stuff.
Yes.
I'm not actually crazy about big crazy ideas. I'm always more interested in characters.
So no Jonathan Hickman for you.
or
Grant Morrison.
I think that's a good example where it's like they're really, really high concept guys, and while I like their work, I personally gravitate towards Ed. And I mean, I had an offer to do one of the Multiversity issues,
yes,
but I was just too busy, like, and I, you know, I read the script and I'm like, this is a bit bonkers, and I could have drawn, it would have been fun, but I feel I wouldn't have been personally engaged as much as maybe,
yes,
because there's other work, say Grant has done, that I'm more interested in. It's weird, I'm very hit and miss with Morrison. There's some things
every one of us.
Yeah, exactly. But I think in a weird way, because he's hit and miss for me, I think he's hit and miss on completely different people. So
yes,
for other people, so there's probably work I like of his, mm-hmm, I like, but somebody else doesn't like, but they like the other thing,
yes,
you know. But
that's the beauty of it.
Absolutely. So I think it's more those types of writers I really like. I think in a perfect world, I'd love to do Injection for the next 3 years, and then maybe do another superhero, like do a superhero run, then go back, and then go back and do creator run, because I really like Marvel. There's more stuff I'd like to do there. I love Batman. I'd love to do some, like, I think that would be really, I think it would be good career if it could be done career wise to kind of like go from one to the other.
Yes. Because so you can do both of the worlds.
I think because I'm not doing superhero work now and I'm doing Injection, I think it seems more important because I'm only doing one thing, which is true. So for me to not do that and go back to superheroes for a while, I think would be a bigger deal. And then to concentrate on one for, I suppose, I think also the variety would keep me on my toes, you know. But having done working creator owned now, I definitely would like to do more creator owned after this. But I think I might like to switch my brain off a little and do something. Because Moon Knight was really fun to work on, really interesting and really challenging. But you're still essentially taking a character that exists and messing with them. Actually developing something from the very beginning, like Injection, was actually very difficult and taxing and took an awful lot of work. So I think by the time Injection is over, I'd probably be very exhausted from that and would like to maybe just do a spin on a known character and then come back. But we'll see. Honestly, man, I didn't know I would have... Well, this is like the perfect question to have. You know, if you asked me 3 years ago, I would have never known any of the stuff that I'm doing now would be possible. If you had told me, you know, do your own take on a character with Warren Ellis and then go work on a creator own book with Warren Ellis, I would have laughed in your face because it would have seemed impossible to me. So things could change dramatically in 3 years. People could hate my work in 3 years. I don't know. But hopefully it would be nice.
Okay. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I hope your stay is very nice, and we'll see you around.